Many governments in the region created non-contributory programs to alleviate poverty among the elder population. Poverty is the one thing that can be improved by transferring money.
Welcome to Vox Dev Talks. My name is Tim Phillips. Increasing numbers of countries are supporting their seniors with non-contributory pensions. What difference do they make to the people who receive them? Well, quite a lot. Recently published research in Latin America by Sebastian Galliani of the University of Maryland and his co-authors suggests, and he joins me now. Sebastian, welcome to Vox Dev Talks.
Very nice to be here, Tim.
As Sebastian, all over the world, more of us are living to pension age, and the people who reach pension age live longer afterwards. So how big is the challenge of supporting seniors now in Latin America?
Indeed, it's very serious because there is a very large prevalence of informality in the labor market. So more or less 50% of workers are informal. And even among those that are formal, they don't get always to contribute the number of years that are needed to get a formal pension. So there's a very large fraction of the population that reach the old age without being entitled to a pension. So as a result, as you say, many governments in the region created non-contributory programs to alleviate poverty among the elder population. I think this is a very good idea. Poverty is the one thing that can be improved by transferring money. I think, however, that in the region, we don't transfer enough money to families in poverty with small children, and that should be also part of the policy conversation.
I mentioned Latin America because in this paper, you have studied a scheme called Pensiones Alimentarias in Paraguay. What is this and how much does it pay to retired people?
Well, the program that we studied provides beneficiaries with a monthly pension of a quarter of a minimum wage in the country. Which is equivalent to about $90. The program targets those that are 65 years old or older and are poor, are below the poverty line. So it's a well-targeted program. And also the people to qualify for the program should not have other type of assistance.
It's very difficult to study the effect of pensions very often because, by nature, everyone tends to get them. So how do you identify the effect of this pension? What outcomes are you testing for here?
In this occasion, we have the chance to work with the government where they were rolling the program. And so because they were not rolling to the 100% of the beneficiaries at the same time, we were able to implement an stratified randomized control trial, which it was ideal for evaluating the policy impacts that the government care about, right? So we explore how the program affects the beneficiary well-being as measured by mental health. We then explore program effects on labor market outcomes. Basically, the lack of economic security may not allow elders to afford retirement. So looking at what happened at the labor market is important, right? So therefore, we explore changing household labor supply and expenditure. And we also test whether the transfer had impacts on physical health.
As you say, you are looking at this by household. Does that reflect the typical family structure in Latin America where pensioners would live with the rest of the family?
We took the population as it is, right? In particular, some outcomes we measure at the family level, like expenditures. Others are measured at the beneficiary level, what the individuals do or what happened to their health. And perhaps a bit technical, but worth saying, by virtue of randomization, all other confounders, such as family structure, are balanced in the study and hence are controlled for.
So what was the impact on the amount of work that pensioners did when they were receiving the benefit and also their consumption?
We find a very large effect on consumption. The level of consumption increased by 44%.
Oh, yes.
And the program also reduced the proportion of older adults doing pay work by 4 percentage points. I think it's important to highlight that we are studying a population that is supposed to reduce war. In general, when you design welfare, one of the things that will be a concern if it affects work, if it reduces work. But in this case, it might be an objective indeed to reduce work or to allow people to have the means to, if they want to retire.
Was there a benefit for their health as well?
Yes, there was benefits on health as well. Beneficiaries report suffering less illness, a decrease of 6 percentage points, and perceived better health. That was an increase on 8 percentage points.
I notice also you're measuring the change in well-being. This is subjective, isn't it? So how do you measure well-being in this case? And what can we say that the results mean?
We use a well-being index that many scholars use in different areas, and it's composed of different dimensions. It's composed of a depression scale, which itself decreased 7 percentage points, so depression went down. It has another component, which is reported satisfaction with quality of life, empowerment of the person, feeling to contribute to the expenditures common to the household, and perception of self-worth. So it is subjective, but basically it's an index of all these components that is used in the literature. And let me say that we find the program contribute to improve this index in 0.5 standard deviation, which is a large effect.
Yes, now this is not the first time, is it, Sebastian, that you've looked into the effect of pensions in Latin America. You've looked into programs in a couple of other countries as well. How does Paraguay compare to your previous results?
Well, we studied similar programs in Mexico and Peru, right? They were not exactly the same programs, but they have the same idea, similar target to the population, and transfers that were not that high, so were comparable in a sense with those in Paraguay, okay? And I think this is very important because it adds to the idea that these results, that the ones that we find in Mexico or in Peru or in Paraguay, can be generalized, because they were very similar. In all the cases, we find that consumption increased substantially, that well-being increased substantially, that depression was reduced, and that the elders were managed to decrease work for payment in similar effects in terms of work. This is striking. You don't often have three studies that find similar results. The other interesting thing, and I think that was something very important to me when we did the study in Paraguay, was that the first two studies were not experimental. Indeed, in Mexico, we did a typical study after the program was implemented, exploiting data, existing panel data. We did try to find clever ways to defend the identification strategy, but as always, there are assumptions behind the estimates. In Peru, the government implemented in such a way that we can exploit the regression discontinuity design, and in Paraguay, then there was the possibility of doing an experiment. So the Paraguay did not only added another extra study, but was an experimental one, and the fact that we find very similar effects really increased the credibility of the three studies.
Previously on Vox Talks, we have covered the impact of non-contributory pensions. We looked at a study from Namibia, and one of the things that highlighted was just how rare these pension programs are, particularly in Africa, for example, and the reason being because they are considered to be very expensive. But do your results, now that you have three sets of results, they suggest that certainly they're an efficient way to support the older population in Latin America?
Of course, if you study the development of the welfare state and a formal pension system, that is something that goes hand in hand with the process of development. So clearly, Latin America is more developed than Africa, and it has a large fraction of the population being entitled to formal pension. So I think it's normal that it's also in Latin America where non-contributory pensions are being developed faster than in other developing countries. Given say that, they could be expensive. So for that reason, I think that programs have to be designed in a way that essentially are very effective and try to minimize the cost. So that means that they have to be well targeted into the elderly that are below certain level of income, and that every country will decide. And also that don't have to make a very large transfer. And the reason why the program doesn't have to make a very large transfer is not only because it's going to increase the cost but also because directly, but also because it's going to substantially increase the cost indirectly by providing incentives to workers not to contribute to the formal pension system, because they say, well, there is a very generous non-contributory pension anyway, so why should I contribute? Let me give you an example that, in my view, is a very bad design non-contributory pension, which was done in Argentina, a country I'm from, in 2016. So basically, the country added to the pension system a non-contributory component that has two characteristics. It's universal, and it gives approximately 80% of the minimum pension. So it's universal, and it's so generous that it really discourages other workers to contribute to the pension system. It's like an invitation to stay informal, basically. So that's a program that is very expensive, and also that is going to create the incentives for people to stay informal, making the whole thing even more expensive.
But given, as you say, the kind of interesting results from these three pieces of research on well-designed programs, does it give you confidence that we would find similar results implementing non-contributory pensions in other parts of the world as well, outside Latin America?
With the caveat that every claim of external validity is an inductive exercise and you never can really be sure, I think having three similar programs that have very similar results, even evaluated with different methods, give us confidence that at least in Latin America, let's say, where sort of labor markets operate in a certain way, family networks are similar, the results can be generalized, or at least it's as good as we can confidently say something from research. We have several studies, not just one, and we find very similar results.
Well, they are very interesting results as well, and very important for our future. So, Sebastian, thank you very much.
Thank you, Tim.
The paper is called Another Brick on the Wall, on the effects of non-contributory pensions on material and subjective well-being. And it is published now in the Journal of Economic Behavior and Organization, volume 195. The authors are Rosangela Bando, Sebastian Galliani, and Paul Gertler. Now, this has been a VoxDev Talk, and the best way to make sure you don't miss an episode of VoxDev Talks is to subscribe on whatever podcast platform you use. You'll find them all there, but also you will find our past episodes with articles about the papers that we feature at VoxDev.